This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Michael McHenry joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Michael, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, team. I'm doing good. You guys?
We're great. Great, right?
Yeah.
We were just talking about Albert Pujols. Now, we know, just watching from the stands or in the press box where our vantage was, or people on television, how many times you had to take off your mask, hold your hand out, get another ball, and watch Pujols come on a home run trot. That's what we see. Why don't you take us inside and tell me about some of your dealings, if you had some dealings with Pujols, and kind of what guy he is and the times that you've dealt with him.
Well, first off, that's why they called him the machine. I mean, he was a special cat. And he was a different player in L.A. than he was in St. Louis. In St. Louis, if you look back at the numbers, he never hit above 300. He never put up that type of power in L.A. that he did in St. Louis. I think when he left the Redbirds, he kind of lost a little piece of who he was. But, man, Pujols was a special cat in a lot of different ways. You know, even defensively, early on in his career, he was very good. But he was just a hard guy to pitch to, very similar to Miguel Cabrera. He didn't have a particular zone you could really just pound him with, because he would make adjustments within an at bat. So if he felt like, hey, I'm gonna drive this ball the other way, he may change in that at bat and say, no, this guy's gonna come in next pitch and he'll hit a homer to left. He just was really unpredictable, really tough to figure out, and he really had a hot zone just about everywhere. So he was a special, special player, and I mean, obviously probably a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Michael, you played a little bit in St. Louis. I've never been a Cardinals fan because I'm a Pirates fan, and going all the way back to the old NL East days, I've had a bone to pick with them, especially during the time in the Central when the Pirates have never been able to beat the Cardinals or at least finish ahead of them in the standings. But just the mystique around the Cardinals and the mystique around Pujols, if he stays there for the rest of his career, if he doesn't take the big deal in Anaheim, does he become the next Musial or Gibson, and does he become synonymous with that franchise, or is he already, I guess?
I think he had a good enough career there to already be. I do wish, just for the game in general, he could have stayed. Just like I hope, as much as, you know, you don't want to see Trout leave to maybe do something else, like, you want to see Trout hopefully finish his career there. I just think there's a special place in baseball history to have a guy like, similar to Jeter, you know, play his entire career with one team, you know, win a World Series, do some special things. And you have that a little bit with Pujols. Obviously he left and went to Anaheim, but I think he was there long enough. They won the World Series. He won the MVP. He put up ridiculous numbers. So I think that mystique is kind of all around him. I mean, he's going to be a legend forever.
Well, Michael, turning to the Pirates, I guess I'll start with the weekly Mitch Keller question. Where he's coming off every other outing, he's really good, and he was really good last time. And you pointed out just a little shift with can that make that much of a difference if you just move 1 inch to the other, 2 inches on the rubber to change the angle of a delivery?
Yeah, and it also creates a little bit of deception. By moving over to that third base side, he's actually, you know, kind of coming from the other side of right-hand batter, and it creates a more horizontal movement going into the left-hander. And I felt like it forced him to get out front, especially with that hand, to get that fastball on the glove side, which opened up the door for him to pitch inside, especially to righties. I mean, he's been okay pitching into lefties, but it really opened up that door to the right-handers. He wasn't missing high and right. He wasn't lagging that arm behind. And that was a huge shift for him that I hadn't seen almost all year. I mean, even Rock was talking about it on the broadcast. And then the breaking ball over the slider. I think that's really important for him. I think it's going to be really important moving forward. It's who he was in the minor leagues. I think it's something he needs to hold on to as he moves forward.
We always talk about this the other way. Let's talk about it this way. We always say, well, why is the guy having success? Let's play this the other way. You're hitting against Richard Rodriguez, right? You have to figure out a way to try to get to him. Where is the hole at all, or where can it be had right now if you're trying to go over your batters, your hitters' reports right now?
Well, he added a new element to his game. It's not a two-seamer, as I originally thought. Rock has said on air, and I believe Walk has. It's actually a four-seamer he's on the side of. And in years past, that's the ball that's actually gotten hit out of the yard because it flattens out. But this man said, no, this is not happening this year, and he's actually using it as a two-seamer when he has it that way. I mean, I'm sure he knows he's in the bullpen. Ball's running a little bit, so he's been playing it off the lefty's hip. He's been playing that left-handed batter's box to come back over, and guys don't know what to do. So if I was hitting against Rich Rod, I would have to figure out which fastball now he has. Is it the one that's really direct at 95 at the top of the zone, or is it the one that he's going to start off the plate and come back over, and he's got such good command with that fastball, he's throwing guys off right now because that comeback's not coming all of that way back. It's staying right on the corner. So, and if he has the one up top, I'm going to try to swing straight down on it because it helps me think about getting on top of, and those high spin guys, that's how I approached them my last year playing. And then the backdoor guys, I'm just not going to give up on it and just try to absolutely hammer a ball to right field if I can. And if he throws me a slider, I'm just messed up.
Fort, I saw you break it down on pregame the other night. This leg kick thing that Tyler Anderson is doing, where it's different seemingly every pitch, how much can that contribute to a hitter being off balance?
Well, first, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are kind of like mesmerized by that little kung fu kick. I mean, it's pretty good if you think about it. I think he could break a couple pieces of board with that kick. And then he has the ability to vary the timing. So, like, you'll see him hang a little longer. You'll see him kind of go up halfway, and then you'll actually see him slide step, but he still does the kick. So it almost kind of blends in. So you have to really pay attention to when his hands break. If you don't, you're in a lot of trouble. But you have to be ready at all times for that. He actually does it a little bit more as the game goes on. His comfort, I believe, rises. And then last game, he started throwing more sidearm. I mean, he threw Cronenworth about three or four balls sidearm, and he was also doing different timing on those. It was so cool.
Michael, I love, we got some day baseball coming up with the Pirates in Chicago here this weekend. Did you like playing at Wrigley Field, and what was that like playing there?
If you don't like playing at Wrigley Field, you don't like Christmas. I mean, it's just a special place. It's an absolutely special place. I mean, back I'd say back 4 or 5 years ago, before they made the all the improvements with the batting cage and the clubhouse, you know, you still were using the same stuff as some of the legends that played, you know, Babe Ruth and these guys that walked on the same field, were in the same clubhouse. I mean, if you can't like that, I mean, I just don't know if you're a baseball fan or if you should even be worthy of playing there.
Last thing real quick before we let you go. Whenever you – I've always wondered this, and I don't think I've ever asked it. Whenever you were getting ready to pitch or to go over a pitcher's report at Wrigley, did you have two sets of things happening, whether which way the wind was going? Did you ask a guy to pitch differently dependent on how the wind was, or did you just carry out the same plan no matter what?
I would definitely start with a prayer differently. If the wind's blowing out, it's a different ballpark. But yeah, like, you always, no matter what ballpark you play in, you always look at the elements. It can affect pitches. It can obviously affect the ball flight out of the yard. And depending on that pitcher, like if I'm catching Wandy Rodriguez, he's a fly ball pitcher. If the wind's blowing out, you're going to see a lot of breaking balls that day. You're going to try to get a lot more swing and miss. You're going to try to focus on doing some things maybe just a tick differently. And it also could play the ball really different. So I'm going to pay attention to what's happening with the ball. I'm going to play the ball, and I'm also going to maybe play for a little bit more swing and miss if it's going out.
Michael McHenry, the best, the Fort, thank you so very much for joining us. As always, we've learned more talking to you than we knew beforehand. So, Michael, that's the goal of this. Thank you so very much. We'll talk again.
All right, appreciate you guys. God bless.
Thanks, Fort. Love it. I remember when I was at Wrigley, one of the first times I was on the field for pregame, and I was going to go down into the dugout and talk to somebody because you're down there for batting practice. I just walloped my head right off the dugout because it's so short.
Yeah, it's so low.
And I just hit my forehead right on.
Do you think the changes, the updates to Wrigley, I know it's more comfortable for the players now and for a lot of people that are in the ballpark, but has it ruined a little bit of the mystique?
Maybe, but they had to have it because it needed to be bigger. I mean, the clubhouse was like it was seriously like a high school locker room.
Right.
It was really bad.
But like the scoreboards in the outfield and stuff.
A little bit. What I mean, really, they wanted to block out the people across the street and the freebies. Yeah. They also needed to get a spike in the luxury box crowd. So
right.
That happened. That was that. I think if you watch a game on television, which the vast majority of people do,
right?
You know, because you're all over the country watching it, you can't really tell all that much. You know, it's kind of the same mystique. But when you go to it, it is a little bit different. It's still, I like it. It can be a, I go hot and cold on it.
Looks like it doesn't quite fit into the neighborhood the same
the
way.
The concourses are really tight. That's the one thing too. Like you, it's like you're at a high school
four
football
people
game.
Wide, yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.